3, and I read as text verse for the sermon, verse 6, Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The theme for the sermon is depending on the Lord. We have 3 points. The first point, the Lord is my shepherd. Second point, he provides for me. And the third point, I will dwell in his house. So the theme is depending on the Lord. 3 points, the Lord is my shepherd. He provides for me, and I will dwell in his house. Congregation, I remember in those years that we lived in South Africa, and then I was driving to teach at Mekanyo, so I was quite a bit at the road to drive there. And then I saw the cars, people, many of them had something written on their cars, or they had a sunscreen, the backside of the cars, and there they wrote even some texts of the Bible, Bible verses. And many times you would see the Bible verse, the Lord is my shepherd. So that's great. They are not ashamed at all to confess faith in Christ. And it really is. Sometimes when you talk to people, you got the impression that they used it almost in a superstitious way. If I write this on my car, then I'm safe. Then the Lord will keep me safe in the traffic, and the traffic was dangerous. Taxi drivers, passing cars on a two-lane road in a very dangerous way, and many accidents happening. So I could understand that fear that the people would have, and that they wrote those things, and that they felt they needed protection. But you hope and you believe that there were also that had this in a heartfelt way, that they really had that personal experience of the goodness of the Lord in their lives. That it would not just be a superstitious thing to find security for this life, but that it would be a living relation of faith with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. We all know those words, isn't it? Children know those words. And they are so beautiful, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, what does it mean? Let's try to understand this psalm that ends with those wonderful words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That, of course, has to do with the start, the beginning of this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. That's why David is witnessing and writing and believing, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So why is the Lord my shepherd, and how is he my shepherd? What does it mean in our personal life? Well, let's start to say, when David is confessing this, the Lord is my shepherd, that he's also saying something about himself, isn't it? When do you need a shepherd? When you are a sheep. So David says, I'm like a sheep. And scripture is teaching us things about sheep. And we might know it from our daily life. And the people in Israel, they knew it for sure. They were much closer to nature and to the animals living there and farms, farm life. So a sheep needs protection. A sheep needs guidance and provision, and it's all these things are all provided by the shepherd. And it's also important when we think about the fact that David is comparing himself with a sheep, that scripture is saying something about us, how we behave like sheep. We read in Isaiah 53, this well-known chapter about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. All we, so you and I, there's no exception, all we like sheep have gone astray. That doesn't mean that we all acknowledge it, or that we all see it, that we are all humble enough to confess it, but it is true in our lives. This last Lord's Day, some conversation, and one of the elders says, Pastor, what would you say to a woman that I visit? And she says, well, I should have a need. You know, she didn't have that sight of Christ because she thought, I first have to get a need. Well, I would say, I tell her she has a need. We all are in need. And yes, it's true, we have to see it, but Scripture makes it so clear. How can we not see it? And if we look honestly in our own life, we see that we have a need. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. What a need. We have turned to our own way. We thought we can follow the imagination, the desire, the feelings of our own heart. We all have turned to our own way. Yes, Pastor, that's true. It's good that you preach this truth. Well, I like that you are so faithful in preaching this truth, but I would like to sit next to you and ask if you really agree about this, that you say, yes, that's about me. I have gone astray, and we have turned to, and I have turned to my own way. And I would like to talk to you and hear if that has broken your heart. Did you see something of how terrible it is that we are all like sheep, and that we go astray, that we turn to our own way? That is so strong, that sinful nature, that although we probably have heard the word of God our whole life, we have gone astray. We have turned to our own way. Probably we all have to say, it's not that we don't know the right way. We do know. We have been sitting in church for years, our lifetime. But you know, my heart is so depraved, that and that is so strong. Although I know with my mind what is good, I go astray. And I turn to my own way. We probably all have that experience. You know what you should do. You know what is right. And you do it not. Well, Paul still had it after receiving grace. So you're certainly, and I'm certainly not an exception. We all have gone astray. And we all have turned to our own way. Pastor, why do you spend so much time to that? Well, to talk about that, it is so important that you are convinced this is about me. This is about me. This is about my heart. That heart is deceitful and it's sinful. It's my nature. It is how I am. It's not that I do something wrong. You know, yes, I do a lot of, but I mean, it's deeper. It's much deeper. There's a source that's wrong. The fountain is dirty, my heart. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned to our own way. So in other words, we are sinful. I am a sinner before a holy God. And David knew this. David learned this lesson. And then these words become so deep. And so powerful. The Lord is my shepherd. I need a shepherd, but I have one. I found one. There is a shepherd. I have a need in my life, but God has provided in that need. The Lord is my shepherd. These words are beautiful. But when you have seen your own heart, they become so powerful. They become so full of comfort. Yeah, are you humble enough to acknowledge that you are like a sheep? We all like sheep have gone astray. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And scripture is teaching clearly about God as being a shepherd. In several places, we read about it in the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 80, we read those beautiful words. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, O shepherd of Israel. So this is the word of God. This is how God has revealed himself to his people. This is how his people got to know him. Or if you read Psalm 77 at the end, it says, thou leadest thy people like a flock. Yeah, that's what God does. He is leading his people like a flock. Or if you read Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. God is a faithful shepherd, patient and caring for his people. Yeah, that's so different from what we are. I mean, scripture is very clear and honest about human shepherds. So many times, it's so disappointing to see how human shepherds are. So God is the great shepherd taking care of his people. But he has also called people to be shepherds. David was a shepherd. You see him before you. Near Bethlehem with the flock of his father, taking care of the flock. Singing psalms, playing his harp. He's fighting a lion and a bear. But David was also later on the shepherd of the people, being called to be the king. And the king was also a judge in those days. He's a shepherd. And David was a man after God's heart. But he also fell in terrible sins. But he repented about it. But in many situations, in the word we read about shepherds, so you could say leaders of the people, and they are no good shepherds. Can you imagine, I read a book about a shepherd who had sheep, had a flock, but he didn't take care of the sheep. So they had trouble with sickness, parasites, or there was no good food, no good pasture. And they were hungry, and you could see they were suffering. But next to this farm, there was another man having sheep, and there the pastures were green, and the sheep were healthy. And then those poor sheep, hungry sheep, were standing there at the fence and watching to the green pasture. Well, that's like a picture, but about the difference between people that know God by true faith and live in his word, or people that live in the world and live in sin and follow Satan. What a difference. It's a horrible thing to think about. But then you have people that are called to be under the Lord shepherds, and they are not. They're not like they should be. They're not faithful. Ezekiel is talking about it. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. They took care of themselves. They had that position, but they were slaughtering the sheep to eat the meat and to take care of themselves. And they only thought about what was good for themselves. Woe, the Lord says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. And then he comes with a great promise. He says, I will set up one shepherd over them. Who's that? That's Christ. Ezekiel is prophesying about Christ. What a difference between faithful shepherds, human shepherds, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he himself has spoken about it in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's different. So those evil shepherds would slaughter the sheep for themselves, but a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's Christ. The word is showing Christ, the great Son of David. And when David says, the Lord is my shepherd, that was by faith in a Messiah who would come, the Son of David. Only for Christ's sake we can and have to get to know the Lord as our shepherd, who will take care of all my needs. And at what a price he did. We read in Zechariah 13, verse 7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. So the sword of God's justice, his righteousness, his justice, his judgment, awoke against the shepherd, against the man that is the fellow of God, the Son of God, who's God himself who became man. And that's how Christ gave his life for the sheep. So David was a shepherd, but he knew himself to be a sheep of the Lord. And what about you? And you will have this deep experience of David when you look to Christ in all your need, in all your weakness, in all the corruption of your heart, when you look to Christ in all your helplessness, and you see him sacrificing himself, but you see him also as the one who is resurrected and ascended and sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he is the one who is the good shepherd. In Christ, we get to know God in his amazing love and care and provision. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, what a wonderful prayer. Lord, be my shepherd. Lord, take care of me. And then David knows that God provides for him. Let's think about it, what that means. The Lord is providing. What does the word provide mean, children? It means he is giving everything. The Lord is providing. Like a father is providing for a family. He's working, and God is giving him the strength to do that. If he has a job, that's a gift of God. If you have your own business, God has given that to you. And that's the way that you may provide as fathers, as parents, for your children, for the family. Well, God does that in an amazing way, providing everything. Well, maybe now you have a question, if you think about it. Is God only providing for people like David? Is God only giving to David the things he needs? Or, let's say, to God's children? But what about people that do not believe in God? They also have work. They also have income. They also receive food. Where do they get it? Yeah. Where do they get it? That's also the amazing goodness of the Lord. Isn't that true? Or would you say that's their own strength and wisdom? It is God who is giving bread, even in mouths that blaspheme. That is his amazing patience with this world, that he is making his sun to shine over good and evil, and giving rain over those that fear him and those that do not, so that they may live. Well, then what is the benefit of being a child of God if God is providing for all people? Good question. What is the benefit? Well, the first thing we can think about is that David knows and acknowledges where all these gifts come from, that they come from God, from the Almighty God. So David knows that the Lord is taking care of him. Does it not make a big difference? If we start a new season, and we may lift up our eyes and lay it all before the Lord. Lord, help us. Grant us strength, wisdom, and everything we need for our labors in this new season. Or if you would have to find it all in yourself, what a difference it is. Yeah, they say a sheep is most comfortable when the sheep is near to the shepherd, or you could say when the shepherd is near to the sheep. There are so many needs in our lives. We are so vulnerable, isn't it? All of a sudden there can be a disease or sickness in our lives. Our strength can be broken. There can be a crisis in society. And there can be a famine. How many are there in this world? Calamities, earthquakes, war. There's always everywhere those threats, those dangers. You can have an accident when you drive home. There can be the loss of a beloved one. And your possessions, you can lose them as well. And if you would not know that God, the Almighty God, the Creator of all things, is in control of all things, and if you would not know that God is your personal shepherd, how miserable would you be? Isn't that true? Yeah, you might harden yourselves against the fears that dwell in our hearts, but actually you're very miserable. You always try to find some security somewhere, some safety somewhere, but it is all so vulnerable and can immediately be taken away. But this cannot be taken away. That's why David says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because God, the Lord, is my shepherd." Pay attention to that little word, "my." It's very personal. It's good if you see that others have someone who is taking care of them, but it wouldn't help you if you personally wouldn't have that person taking care of you. But David has it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It's such a tender, personal relation of faith. It's a relation of a child in childlike fear. God, the Lord, is my shepherd. He who is almighty, who has created the universe, this earth, and is keeping all things in his mighty hand. He is my shepherd. He's wise. He's just. He's faithful. He's all-knowing. He knows every need of me. He's eternal. He is the fountain of all good things. And he's my shepherd. What a happy life. What a security there is. Well, but Pastor, wait a minute. Let's think about David's life. Yes, you said he provides for me. So he's giving all things, security, prosperity. But think about David. Did he not have to flee for his enemies? Did even not his own son stand up against him in rebellion? Yeah, that's true. So it didn't go so well all the time in David's life. How can David say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life"? There were dark days in his life. How many wars did he fight? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Can we expect that this new season will be a season with only days of prosperity? That things will go smooth in our business, in our job, in our work at home? That's not my experience. Many times I have difficulties in my life. Many times are things that frustrate me. Many times I have to make difficult decisions. Many times things seem to be against me. I have to deal with disappointments, with loss, with hardships, with pain, with hurt. How can David say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life"? Well, it depends what your definition is of goodness and mercy, isn't it? How do you define, how do you describe goodness and mercy? That's important. Let's think about that. How do you describe? What is goodness and mercy for you? Let's take the word goodness. What is goodness for you? What is good? What are the good things of life for you? What is really good? Good is something that you give the first place in your life. What is most important for you? So what is goodness? When are things going well in your life? Can you describe what it means that goodness follows you all the days of your life? Well, for David, goodness is that the Lord is his shepherd. And that is not something that you can define in earthly wealth. I'm not saying that it is totally unimportant, but goodness is much higher. Well, that's scriptural. You can find it in so many ways explained in scripture. Does it not say in the word, does the Lord Jesus not say that we should lay up treasures on earth? No, not on earth, but in heaven. So that's goodness. When you lay up treasures in heaven, how can you do that? How can you bring your money to heaven or your... No, so this is spiritual. That you have a spiritual riches that you gather and that is kept in heaven. And the Lord Jesus says, where your treasure is, there's your heart. Well, okay. That means that we should have a life here on earth, but at the same time, our heart in heaven. Our heart in heaven, what does that mean? Well, what we love is in heaven. Christ is in heaven. Our mind is set on the things in heaven. That has the first, the highest position in our lives. It's most important. So goodness for me are the heavenly things. The peace with God, the forgiveness of my sins, the hope in God, the hope in His glory, the love of Christ in my heart, faith in the living God, in His word, His promises. That's goodness. Those spiritual things. And now I understand that David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Even if when he had to flee from Jerusalem, this was following him. It's so beautiful that it says, it follows me. It's not like I have to chase after it. Maybe I get it one day. No, it's like it follows me. It's like a gift. God is taking care that it will be there. Even in the darkest nights of my life. That's what David says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see the shepherd going through a deep valley, and the rocks are hanging over him and trees, and oh, it's dark there and it's scaring. That's how we can feel in certain situations in this life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a secret. That's why David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because thou art with me. Thou art with me. Yeah, Pastor, but that's impossible for me. I'm too bad for that. God cannot be with me. I'm such a sinful person. Sin is so powerful in my life. Well, I'm very thankful that you see that, because you're right. And that's right. That's true about me and about you. But you're not right when you say God cannot be with me. You shouldn't say that. That's against Scripture. That's against the message of the gospel, that Christ came to seek and save sinners. How dare you say that he couldn't be with you? Are you an exception of that word of God? Of that promise? That and Paul says, even the chief of sinners like I am. So that's, David says in verse 3, he restored my soul. So maybe you say it, I understand it, you know, I understand why you say it, because your experience, I've ruined my life. I've given myself to sin. I've been drinking with my whole heart from the dirty water of sin in this world. Instead of that I let my that I had myself led to the still waters, or that I would lie down in the green pastures, I would walk in the wilderness where poisonous plants are to kill me. I've gone astray. So, Pastor, that's my situation. I've ruined my life in sin. And now sin is ruling my life, my mind and my desires. Do you understand that God cannot have fellowship with me? I understand what you say. And listen. David says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. You don't know how to do it. He restoreth my soul. There's restoration by God. Yeah, for people that have ruined their lives in sin, like David did. He restoreth my soul. So it's like you have had a hard day. In the heat of the sun, you had worked the whole day, you had no food. You're so thirsty, you're so hungry. You feel kind of devastated. Then you come home and there's a meal prepared. And you sit there and you eat and you drink. And you feel strength. You feel strength coming back. You feel kind of renewed. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't know how that can be true for me. Well, and he knows. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, what are the paths of righteousness? You could say, well, that is the work of Christ. Christ says, I'm the way. And his righteousness, that's sufficient before God. So here you are. You've ruined your whole life. You have nothing to show the Lord that you would be acceptable, that he could be your shepherd. But then the Lord is leading you in the paths of righteousness. So he is showing you that he has provided. He provides for me. He gives you everything. That's what we said, our second thought. And he also provides in righteousness. And you don't have it. Righteousness means that you have kept God's law in a perfect way, that you are standing in the right relation before God. Well, that's only Christ. He only did it. Christ, he has obeyed his Father his whole life, not only outwardly, but with his whole heart. And so God is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness, that you're going to put your foot on this rock of ages, that you will build your house on this foundation, that you walk in this one way. Christ says, I'm the way. This is the way. This is how God is providing. This is how you have to be saved, that you rest in this work of Christ. Is that everything in this verse? I'm firmly convinced that it is more. Of course, that's the whole message of Scripture. Where this happens, that God is leading you in the path of righteousness, so that you rest in the work of Christ, that you look to his work, his obedience, his payment on the cross. That's so overwhelming, that is so full, that love is so deep, that's life transforming. That's life transforming. So then God is going to lead you in the paths of righteousness. You look to Christ, and you have a new desire to be more like Christ, and to behave like he did in this world, and to obey God's will. I'm not saying that you do it perfectly, you should, but you have that intention. Like the Catechism says, yes, although it's a small beginning, I have that desire, intention, to live according to all the commandments of God. That's God leading you. That's not your own strength, your own wisdom. That's a fruit, that's the Spirit dwelling in your heart. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. There's a life dwelling in his word. And that's something you do for his name's sake. Our God does it for his name's sake. That's why it happens. It's all about his name. It's all about his glory. Do you see now that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life? If you know God in Christ and his goodness, that's something in your heart. His presence. Thou art with me. That's goodness, that God is with me. Let's first sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 408, 408, stanza 1 through 3. Stanza 1, ye who his temple thronged, Jehovah's praise prolong. 408, stanza 1 through 3. Dear congregation, David says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will dwell in his house. So what does it mean? Because how can David say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Would he no more live in his own palace, children? I mean, he had built such a nice palace as a king. How can you live in the house of the Lord forever? I mean, you have to do your work, isn't it? You have your labors, and life can be so busy. Is something you struggle with? Pastor, it's good to be in God's house at Sunday, Lord's Day. But then the next day it's Monday, and I have my work, and it's so busy. I'm so occupied. Life is so demanding. I forget totally about those things. And even it's so hard to do the will of the Lord. When you have your work, when you live in this society, there's so much that is distracting you. There's so much that is asking your attention. There is so much that is stirring up sinful desires in your heart. There's so much temptation that you wouldn't be honest and just in your business of your labors. And it's such a hard thing to gather treasures in heaven instead of on earth. Are you struggling with that? It's good that you struggle with it. Would be worse if you would just accept this is how life is, you know, and we don't make a big deal of it, we don't make a problem of it, we just behave like the world, and at Lord's Days we go to the church. No, that's not what David says. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you probably get to understand it now. You already start to see what he means. He doesn't mean that he literally would be in the tabernacle all every day. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That doesn't mean that you have to be physically in church your whole life. But it means much more. It's much deeper. Can you not dwell in a place in a way that you are not physically there? I'm sure you can. When you're far away, maybe you have to make a trip to another country, you might say, my heart was at home. Right? That's where your mind is set on. At home, that sweet place. Well, that's what David says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My heart will be there. In the house of the Lord forever. In the house of the Lord. That's the place of the service of the Lord. That's the place of atonement. That's the place where the sacrifices happen. That's the place where David could see that God is reconciled to man. In the way of a sacrifice that he would provide himself. So that's the place where David would find peace with God. Oh, do you mean we don't have to go to church because we can be with our heart there? No, that's not what I say. No. If you would never be home, then at the end of the day you wouldn't know how home would look like anymore. So you have to be in the church when there is the proclamation of the gospel, if possible. But then when you leave the church, this thing will go in your heart, isn't it? Let it be. Yeah. So that means it should have your heart. Should not just be to sit here and you hear it in this ear and it leaves you at that side. No, it should sink in your heart. this wonder that God in Christ is my shepherd, and that his goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yeah, that's a life in the house of the Lord. That's a life with my heart in the things of the Lord. Well, isn't that what we said already? That it's a life with your heart in heaven. That you have your citizenship in heaven. That's where I belong. That's home, you could say. A child of God laying at his deathbed could say, I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going to the house of my Father, where God has prepared in Christ a mansion for me. Oh, there was no room. I've closed that door. Christ has opened it. And he has made room by his own work. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is also something full of expectation. Yes, here in this life it's not perfect. It's partly. It's attacked. Children of God, it's attacked, isn't it? It is right what you told me. It's such a struggle with all the temptations of sin in this world. I hope it is. It should be. That's what the Lord said in paradise. I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. You cannot have peace with sin in this world. Remember what it costed Christ. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. Huh? Because David says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. So that's his word. Lie down. If a sheep will lie down, then it is at ease. It's taken care of. It's probably healthy and fat and secure. If it feels insecure, it will not lie down. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So yeah, David says, I find food in the word of God. But this world is full of other food and other water, full of poison. And it's so easy, you might have it in your pocket, you know, on your smartphone. You know, if you open your laptop, or whatever you do, if you, yeah, what you watch and where you pay attention to, it is food, isn't it? I mean, everything you read and watch, it's doing something to your inward life, to your soul. So that's why Scripture says that you have to watch your heart more than anything else, because from the heart are the issues of life. So if you drink the water of sin, yeah, it's going to poison you, huh? And, you know, I'm not saying this in a way that I feel better than anybody else. Just let's be aware of that. And let's say with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That your heart will be in the things of the Lord. That's against our nature. But that's the work of the Lord. And that is to be received. We recently had sermons about prayer. And we also had that history that the Lord Jesus says, if you pray for the Holy Spirit, your Heavenly Father will give that. More than evil fathers will give good gifts to their children. So God can give you and will give you a life to dwell in his house forever. Yeah. Young people, children, this is the best protection in this world. Sin is destructive. Believe it. Sin is destroying you. It's ruining your heart. And if you're sitting here and says, but it's too late for me, I've ruined my life already. No, it's not too late. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Turn away today. Turn away from what is wrong and doing harm to your soul, and turn to the Word of God. and turn to Christ and look to Him. But I fail every day. Okay, every day again, turn away. And I preach you this morning from the Word of God that God will bless His Word in your life, and that it will become more and more powerful, and that sin will be destroyed, and that your soul will be restored. Am I going to be in a situation that I'm without any sin? No, that's not what Scripture says. You would like to, you want to, but although it will be a lifelong struggle against my old sinful nature, I dwell in the house of the Lord. There I see the atonement. There I see the sacrifice of Christ. And I find peace. We, being justified by faith, have peace with God. You will find peace, young people, children, you will find peace in Christ. This is reality. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. This is true. God is not lying. If you seek it, keep seeking it. And don't listen to Satan who says it's too bad with you. No. Listen to the Word of God. And if you fall every day, that you look to the Lord to lift you up every day. And He will do that. He's faithful. How many times does the Lord forgive? Well, the Lord says to Peter, 70 times 7 times, you should forgive. Innumerable. His mercy is so great. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I need it. Certainly I need it all the days of my life. I need His mercy all the days of my life. I need to dwell in His house forever and ever. I need to see the sacrifice, the atonement. I need to see Christ and the cross every day of my life. And I promise, God is promising, that He will make His work more firm in your life and make the fruit more experienced. The fruit of peace and joy in the Lord. And that the power of darkness will more and more be broken. So you have to follow the footsteps of Christ. But remember, if you feel that you're gonna stray, remember that He says, I'm the good shepherd. And then I read, He goes after that which is lost until He finds it and lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. But there's something more. At the last day, He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. So, it's not yet that His judgment is here now. It's still a day of grace. It's still a day to be found by this good shepherd. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Almighty and most merciful God, we come before Thee, we thank Thee for Thy word. It's most precious, Lord. But we don't have a taste for it by nature. We think that sin is sweet, but it's bitter. And it will be bitter in the end. And that Thou would give us a taste for Thy word, the sweetness, that it is sweeter than honey. And Lord, oh, we pray for Thy blessing in this new season over Thy word in our lives. And Lord, Thou art so worthy to receive all the honor and praise. And when we dwell in Thy word, when we dwell forever in Thy house, oh, then in eternity, then we will see Christ like He is, in His beauty, in His amazing love that He has chosen, that He has paid for those that were chosen from eternity. There's nothing in them that made them acceptable or different from others, but it is Thine amazing eternal love, and that's why it is possible. For the vilest, dirtiest sinner to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ, to rejoice in Him and to experience that goodness and mercy will follow all the days of our lives. Lord, that Thou would use Thy word like a rod and a staff to keep us, that we may be strengthened by Thy word and Thy promises and fed. Be with us this day, Lord, and bring us tonight in Thy house, and open Thy word more and more for our hearts and our hearts for Thy word. Forgive our sins, we pray. Keep us on the dangerous roads and hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.